All right, we're ready to roll. Are you ready, Carla?
Yes.
All right, we're back.
In session, could you please read item 691?
Direct the Bureau of Planning and Sustainability to develop a strategy to reduce single-use non-recyclable plastic, including plastic straws.
Commissioners, today we're considering a resolution to reduce single-use disposable plastics by directing the Bureau of Planning and Sustainability to research and develop a strategy, including the consideration of public comments by October of 2018. Plastic straws are one of the top items that are found littered across U.S. coastlines. They are littering Portland's waterfront, our streets and our parks, and have a negative impact on wildlife habitats as they float through our rivers and into the ocean. We can't recycle them. Plastic straws are a single-use, non-recyclable plastic item that is not accepted in Portland's mixed recycling system. Reduction of single-use, non-recyclable plastics will result in reaching several city goals of improving and protecting land and water quality. To date, more than 100 Portland restaurants, bars, and businesses have pledged to change their straw policies, donate to the campaign, or volunteer time in various cleanup activities. Now, we'd like first to hear from Susan Anderson, who's the Bureau Director at the Bureau of Planning and Sustainability. We'll then hear from Brianna Goodwin and Nancy Nordman from the Surfrider Foundation, and representatives from the business community that have already voluntarily taken action to reduce plastic straws and litter. So with that, I'll introduce Susan Anderson. Good afternoon. Thank you.
Thank you, Mayor, City Council Susan Anderson, Director of the Bureau of Planning and Sustainability. And as the mayor indicated, we're here today once again to ensure that Portland is doing its part to protect the environment and to promote a more resilient future. Over the years, we've known that cities in the United States can't depend on their federal government to make quick change on environmental issues. And we can think back to the 70s and 80s when we were all saying, think global, act local, and that still holds true. And it really represents how on so many issues, not just environmental issues, but how the fire, the spark, often has to happen at the local level before it can take off nationally. So today we're here to ask you to start this process. It's a process to reduce the use of plastic straws and other single-use, non-recyclable plastic items like plastic forks and spoons. We all know that these plastic items end up everywhere, really, and they end up in our rivers and oceans, and we know that dolphins and whales and turtles and others are all impacted by the hundreds of thousands on a daily basis. So why is this a problem? Well, as you probably learned in seventh grade science, plastics don't biodegrade, and that means they're pretty much here forever. They do break down into smaller pieces, which at first seems like that sounds good, but actually it means that the problem is worse. It means that the tiny pieces are then eaten by fish and other small animals, and then they become part of the food chain, and eventually that plastic is in their bodies and often eaten by us. So as the larger pieces also that are out in the ocean, and then you've all seen those pictures of the swirling masses of plastic in the ocean, those are often entangling animals and or piercing their bodies. In the U.S., we use about 5 million straws a day, and the research shows that if we continue on the path we're on, by 2050, there will be more plastic than fish by weight in the oceans. So here in Portland, this again, we often do these things that seem small and almost, inconsequential, and the newspaper may have the headline of, some crazy city council thing, now they're doing straws, but these things add up one by one. Hundreds and hundreds of cities start doing these things, and it begins to make change. And it's the kind of change we've seen in so many areas. We were first with the first climate action plan in the United States, and then we had one of the first green building programs. We had the first home energy score. On this one, we're not first. We're definitely not first. Several cities and even some other countries have started to restrict the use of single-use plastics, or they're developing similar regulations. So New York, San Francisco, Seattle, Boulder, Vancouver, BC, they're all doing the same work and have either already adopted something or are in the process. So today, our hope is that you will direct me and my team at BPS to come back with an ordinance by early fall with a recommendation. And during that time, we will research all the best practices, look at lessons learned from those who have already adopted regulations. We'll hold conversations with the public and with stakeholders, especially the restaurant industries, other business organizations, so that we can integrate their thoughts and concerns into what we adopt. And then we'll also definitely be giving special consideration to those who actually really may need to use straws in such places as hospitals and other caregiving institutions. So we don't want to create any barriers for people who really do need to use them. So that's the plan to get us going in the right direction. I gave you all presents that you just got. So you got your own metal straw right there in front of you, and that means you really have no excuse from now on forever asking for a straw again.
How do you clean it?
You can put it in the dishwasher.
If you had a smoothie coming through this, putting it in the dishwasher is not going to help. But do you have little brushes that you can put down it?
Oh well, yeah, actually they do. Yeah, so I guess I could get one of those too. But I think in the dishwasher, they will work. The water's so hot, but that's why we're not adopting it today. So I will have the answer to that question when we come back in September. This may spark a whole new industry, I guess, of straw cleaner. Now, pipe.
Well,
I have a drawer full of them because our child is still young enough.
We used to have wax paper straws because this seems like it's not very resource.
Well, you have it once. My daughter's had one for years, and she gives me, why don't you carry your straw, Mom? Okay. And so,
are you looking at coffee cup lids?
There's
a lot more plastic in a coffee cup lid, and I actually see much more of those on the ground than I do straws.
Right. We will be looking at that step by step. You all could agree to do that, and we'll bring forth that as part of the ordinance as an option, but that may be a step too far too quickly. But we'll
be first, though, and I know my colleagues here really like being first. So, it seemed like you could have a paper lid or cardboard lid, just like
I agree.
And Susan, you might also just mention the Planning and Sustainability Commission is looking at a whole suite of items, including plasticware. As they're looking well beyond just the straw question,
right?
Commissioner Udaly?
How do we add to that list? Because while I certainly appreciate this initiative, it's only one thing that is made out of plastic that is optional, and I have other items I would love to see.
We'll be in your office ready to hear the list. Yeah, I mean, straws are the easy one to talk about. Obviously, any other utensils. India right now is saying the entire country is looking at all sorts of different plastic items. So I think it's a movement. So
great.
I'll stop there and turn it over to some of the folks who have been pushing this for a while.
Very good. We have some representatives from the Surf Rider Foundation. I'll let you introduce yourselves.
All right. Thank you so much for your time today. My name is Nancy Nordman, and I am here on behalf of the Portland chapter of the Surf Rider Foundation and the Ditch the Straw PDX campaign. The Portland chapter of Surf Rider is dedicated to the protection and enjoyment of the world's oceans, waves, and beaches, and we're increasingly concerned about the issue of marine plastic pollution and its impacts on our waterways and our marine life. Over 660 species have been impacted by plastics, and it's consistently in the top 10 list of things that we do find on our green streets cleanups and our beach cleanups. And so as one way to help address this problem, we developed the Ditch the Straw PDX program, and that began in August of 2017, in which we collaborate with businesses to help them adopt a straw upon request policy with a plastic-free alternative, like a paper straw or metal straw or bamboo straw as an alternative for when straws are specifically requested. We offer table tens, buttons, and bill inserts to help inform customers of why the switch is happening, and that has been proven to be especially effective in creating a smooth transition and gaining customer backing. We also, again, work with the businesses to find the alternative that's going to work for them. So for some restaurants, that's been a metal straw. It's also been reusable stir sticks, That's another example of branching out to other items. We definitely hear from people that once they're interested in, once they learn about straws, they then start asking, what about this item as well? So those are conversations that we've already started to have with businesses. And it's been really exciting to see the change and see how excited they are to take on the challenges. We don't promote bioplastics or other compostable straws as an alternative in our program due to the lack of marine biodegradability and our interest in supporting local composting programs. And so as of now, we've had over 100 restaurants participating in some form, and we're getting more every day, which is really exciting. It's ranged from universities to coffee shops, fine dining establishments, and in our follow-ups with them, voluntarily taking on this policy, they've mostly reported very positive feedback, very little pushback. They often say that customers actually thank them for taking a step up and being leaders in this. They are also getting increasing requests of customers asking for their drinks with no straw, adding that to their drink order. And they've also seen drops in straw usage and cost savings as a result of taking on this policy. I'm not able to share all the testimonials we've gathered, but I would like to share this one. It was easier than expected. I and my staff worried that people would be confused or adverse to no straws, but we've had only positive feedback and very few requests for our paper straw as an alternative. I think that putting a little blurb on the menu has helped prepare people for drinking out of glass the old-fashioned way. So that's from Taqueria Nueve.
That's awesome. Thank you.
Thank you.
My name is Brianna Goodwin. I am the Oregon Field Manager for Surf Rider Foundation. So I am a paid staff member of this international nonprofit. And I wanted to provide a little bit more of a global and statewide context for this. It's already been mentioned that there are whole countries that are banning single-use plastics. I also want to point out that there are corporations that also have locations in the U.S. that are choosing to get rid of straws and other single-use plastic items. McDonald's in the U.K. is phasing out single-use plastic straws and switching to paper. And it was just announced that KFC in Singapore is getting rid of plastic straws. And you've probably heard that Alaska Airlines also is getting rid of plastic straws. So there are corporations in the U.S. and internationally that are choosing to do this, as well as countries. I mentioned that Surfrider is international. Here in the U.S., we have 84 chapters, and over 25 of those chapters are engaging in programs similar to the Ditch the Straw program, where they're working with businesses in their communities to move to straws upon request and quit using single-use plastic straws. Since this has been such an important movement within all of our chapters, as an organization, we've come together to create a Ditch the Straw toolkit that all of our chapters can use to start their own program. And I'm very proud to report that Portland's Ditch the Straw program is the star example of how to lead a straws campaign. Within the state, we have four chapters. Three of those are working to address straws in addition to Portland. We have a program in Newport and also in Coos Bay. Right now, our Siuslaw Law chapter in Florence is working on plastic bags, but straws might come next for them. And as Nancy said, there's been a really positive response, and I can say that that's even happening in Newport. We're getting that positive response as well. And Coos Bay is just starting, but we do have some restaurants that have already switched to paper straws in Coos Bay. So there is support for this movement outside of Portland. And finally, I want to close on this effort in Portland has been led by volunteers. I provide support as a paid staff member, but Nancy, who was working and just finished her master's degree, led this campaign, which is really impressive. And she has a committee of many dedicated volunteers. So it's really Portland area community members that are driving this and worked with businesses to create a business-first approach and find ways that are going to work for them. So I'm very proud of my volunteers, and I think being a volunteer-led effort really shows how much support there is.
Great. Thank you. This is fantastic work. And one of the partners, of course, is Burgerville.
Hello.
One of my favorite places.
Yay. Thank you. Thanks for your support. Mayor Wheeler and commissioners, thank you very much for the opportunity to be here today. My name is Hillary Barber. I'm the Director of Strategic Initiatives at Burgerville. We're a regional company. We have 42 restaurants in the Pacific Northwest, from Corvallis, Oregon, to Centralia, Washington. And our headquarters are across the river in Vancouver. Our mission statement is serve with love, and it's really at the heart of how we do all that we do. It represents the commitment that we have to our employees and our guests, the farmers and ranchers we partner with and the communities we serve, and to the Pacific Northwest region. We employ 1,500 individuals, and close to 75% of our ingredients are sourced from within 400 miles of the Portland-Vancouver area. So we have about a $30 million spend on food ingredients in the Pacific Northwest. And for over a decade, we have been committed to environmental stewardship and to minimizing our environmental and business footprint. All of our waste oil is recycled into biodiesel, and 100% of our restaurant's energy use is offset with green power. In the mid-2000s, we helped to lead the industry on introducing compostable packaging and raising consumer awareness about the appropriate disposal of food waste packaging. Unfortunately, the industry for compostable packaging failed to mature for a number of reasons, and we were forced to discontinue that program. But since that time, we have consistently pushed on our suppliers and our partners, both big and small, to think big when it comes to innovation for packaging. We're deeply concerned about the impacts of plastics in particular on the regional ecosystem and the global ecosystem as well. So we're thrilled that the city is taking this on, and we want to be a partner. It completely aligns with our values as a company. And we appreciate the invitation to be part of a collaborative process to adopt policy that will open new conversations with the public and really expand consumers' choices. We see this as a tremendous opportunity both to reduce our reliance on single-use plastics and to improve our business practices. So we have been talking in the news lately. You may have heard about going first, and no, we wouldn't be the first city to do this, and Burgerville wouldn't necessarily be the first company or corporation to do this. But for the region and for our size and scale, we would love to be a partner with the city on this initiative and leverage our impact as much as possible. So thank you.
That's great. We appreciate that very much. We appreciate the partnership. Commissioner Fritz?
Thank you all for being here. I'd like to particularly thank Surf Rider for not filling my emails like you did on plastic bags. So when it comes back in the fall, you don't have to get your people to send 300 emails from Utah and California and where elsewhere. You're making your point very well in person, and I appreciate that very much.
Send them to Dan and Nick since they're not here.
Make sure that's in the notes.
Couldn't resist. Great. Julia Person from Widmer. Come on up. Thank you.
Good afternoon. Julia Person. I'm Sustainability Director at Widmer Brothers Brewery. Widmer Brothers was the first business to participate in the Ditch the Straw PDX program, and we are really excited to do so because we're committed to protecting Oregon's clean water. It's the number one ingredient in our beer. It's so important for brewing our beers if we want to protect our watersheds. And we piloted Ditch the Straw in August 2017. During that first month, we avoided using 1,883 straws. At that time, we were a full-service restaurant. And to further reduce our impact, we switched to offering only paper straws upon request. And these straws truly do hold up in customer drinks. We had a server that tested the paper straw through a whole 7-hour shift, and it was in good condition at the end of that time, a paper straw. And a couple of positive impacts to our business include that we did receive positive responses from our customers. Some of them even thanked us for reducing our waste. And even though the paper straw is more expensive, by moving to the straws upon request only, overall we're using less straws, so it actually came out to be a business cost savings for us. So switching to the straws upon request only was a very simple way that we can reduce our impact on the environment, and we're also still maintaining a high level of customer service. It was a very positive experience with ditching the straw. We definitely support the city of Portland in expanding this ordinance and hope to see Ditch the Straw taken citywide. So thank you for your
thank
time.
Thank you very much. And again, we're very disappointed you didn't bring any product.
No, beer next time, which you do not need a straw to drink beer with. So.
Thank you very much. Kate Iacopini, General Manager of St. Jack's. You are our last invited guest, and we will, of course, have open testimony for those who would like to. Good afternoon and welcome.
Hi, how are you?
Great.
People have been talking about the challenges of switching from straws to a more reusable policy, and I'm happy to report that we haven't seen a single challenge. At this point in the year, we would have spent probably upwards of $400 on plastic straws at St. Jack. Starting in January of 2018, we switched to metal straws. We invested $60 up front, and I have yet to reorder straws. So that is a pretty tremendous statistic, and I think it would make a lot of other restaurants very happy to know that. I am a nutcase about asking my staff to report to me when people are unhappy with anything at the restaurant. And I'm also pleased to report that there hasn't been a single case of anybody being upset that they don't have plastic straws in their drinks any longer. It's been wonderful for us on a hospitality level. I think that the metal straws are a great way to go. They are clean. They're easy to wash. We use straight ones. I don't know if that makes a difference to anybody, but it seems to be super simple for us to get them clean and get them back in the drinks. We also have, for the most part, straws upon requests for all of our cocktails. Some of them do come with one of the metal straws. It's just nice to know that everything that we're serving in the drink world is reusable right now. The only thing that has been challenging, and I just am submitting this as kind of a question for everybody, is that I've done a lot of networking and reached out to a lot of other restaurants that that I know of in the area. And while most of them are very enthusiastic about making the switch, some people have reported that they want to exhaust the supply of plastic that they're already working with. So what I pose today is to find a way that we might be able to give them another opportunity to put those plastic straws to use. One thing that I've been thinking about and trying to research, but I don't have a lot of time for it, is to have a piece of public art where people could put those plastic straws and give them a second life, which I think would be a very Portland thing to do. But that's the only negative response I've had, and for the most part, I would say that 90% of the people that I've networked with have made the change and been happy to do so. So that's all I have to say about that.
Well, Kate, thank you for being here. And I just have to say St. Jack's happens to be one of my family's favorite places to go.
We love you guys.
Well, it's mutual. And we happened to be there one day, and we got one of the straws, and we were very excited about it. And we asked about it, and you said you were doing a fundraiser for the Surfrider Foundation, part of the Ditch the Straw campaign. So we came to that, and it was extremely well attended. And I had a chance there to talk to other people who are engaged in this, and we've heard from some additional folks today. And there clearly is a strong consensus, in my opinion, around the need to go beyond plastic straws, plasticware. And now the question is, how do we all work together to make sure that it works? But I want to thank you in particular for setting me up in this and with the Surfrider Foundation and really pushing this as an agenda of yours in St. Jack's, just the way the others have as well. So thank you for that.
Well, we're clearly not the first, but we wanted to be really loud because in the food service community, you don't want to be behind the trends. So we kind of wanted to put the pressure on all of our peers in the industry to get with the program. So it seems to be working. And as far as the fundraiser goes, I think that we will be able to produce about $12,000 to this cause, which I hope makes an impact. We're really passionate about it. So thank you for doing this.
Yeah, great. Awesome. Colleagues, any questions before we get open testimony? Carla, do we have anybody?
Oh, actually.
I'm sorry. Commissioner Udaly.
Now
yeah,
is
sure.
the time.
You bet.
So I just want to, first of all, commend all of you on this effort. I think 18 months ago, this was barely on anyone's radar. It was on a lengthy kind of wish list in my office. And one of the discouraging factors for us was that we don't have facilities to process the biodegradable straws, which seemed to be the preferred alternative at the time. So I'm glad to hear that paper straws are working just fine and the metal reusable straws. I do want to suggest a friendly amendment to this resolution that would specifically include ADA considerations in the scope of issues in the analysis, accommodating diners with disabilities. There are many people with motor skill challenges or dysphagia, which is a swallowing disorder, who do actually need straws, and ideally they need a straw with a bend. And, you know, it's a small number of your patrons, but we shouldn't be creating barriers or embarrassment for them to enjoy the same amenities as everyone else. So I wonder if the attorney could suggest language, because I don't have anything drafted. I mean, I'm just asking for something very simple.
Well, I think we're directing them to develop a strategy, so they've heard. Could that not just be included in what they...
I guess I always prefer to see it included in writing. I know that BPS is aware of this issue. I trust that they will include it in the analysis, but I would personally prefer that it was actually included in the wording. While people chat about that, 30 years ago, which is really weird to be able to say, I got to watch the movement or the effort to eliminate styrofoam packaging in Portland hatch at my dining room table, because my housemate at the time was one of the people who was instrumental in that. It just goes to show you what a huge impact a small group of people that fit around a dining room table can have on a whole city and a national and even international movement. So thank you and congratulations for that effort.
Very good. Commissioner Udaly, just for the record, I'm very supportive of your amendment concept, and it looks like you have some smart people over there trying to draft something for your perusal. And people can think broadly about that during public testimony
thank
as
you.
Well. Carla, how many people do we have signed up?
One person.
Well, that should be easy. So my admonition, Susan, is draft quickly. Very good.
That's really disgusting.
Shedrick J. Wilkins.
Speak for a while.
All right, I'm Shedrick J. Wilkins, and I understand that besides plastic water bottles are not recycled. They make park benches out of them. So I had this idea that there's a company called Solo Power on Marine Drive that makes plastic thin film solar cells, and I wondered if they use recycled plastic. You know, we're using a lot of water bottles now, that they could turn them into solar panels. It's possible that plastic is toxic in a roof fire and polysilicon glass ones aren't. That's a possibility. Another possibility is some solar panels have a shelf life. They're made, the pure silicon ones aren't, they're blue colored. There's another change in this thing is Solo World, a German company, was in Hillsboro, was bought out by a company called SunPower of San Jose, Silicon Valley. And Silicon Valley is where the plastic thin film flat screen comes from. And it's the same idea that instead of having silicon, polysilicon do something, you etch plastic and put little plastic wires and stuff like that. Solar power, I think, on Marine Drive was bought by a British company and still working. And again, Solar World has made all the little glass ones you see all over the place. They folded and sold out to San Jose. So I'd like to ask them some questions. I'm going out to Washington County. There is a company called Sun Power. So you won't hear the word solar power, you'll hear the word sun power. I guess they've made too many polysilicon solar panels. So there's time for something new. And the third thing is, in the year 2013, I found out on my school roof at Harvey Scott, I saw Wellington Park's Elevated, my old school. I looked down, I saw these solar panels on the school. And I, well, there's like 100 kilowatts of solar panels on it, a whole big thing. So I asked the school district, and they're thin films. They're plastic. So I wonder what happens here with this thin film thing. It was obviously, I think they were installed in 2009, so it's probably an Obama-era experiment. I don't know if they have a shelf life. But remember, this plastic is rain-resistant. There's plastic raincoats. And instead of throwing this stuff around and putting it in the ocean, put it on top of somebody's roof. We're going to keep track of it.
Thank you, Cedric. How's our drafting exercise going?
While they're working on it, I actually had a question for you two, and that is, did you have paper straws when you were growing up?
Yes.
Yeah, and they had
stripy.
Yeah, stripy ones, and there were some bendy ones too, right?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes.
So it seems like that should be a technology.
And crazy straws.
What's a crazy straw?
I guess it's more my generation. The plastic.
They got loop-de-loop.
Oh, those weren't paper, right? Those are plastic.
No, but they were reusable, although very difficult to clean and perhaps inappropriately named. So
okay.
There's that.
Well, you can never accuse... I just put you a few more minutes. I just was wondering.
You can never accuse us of not bringing all the funny, fun stuff to the Bureau. That's what this Bureau is for, I guess. It could be as simple as at the end of the... resolution at the part where it says, now therefore be it resolved that the City Council and the Mayor direct the Bureau of Planning and Sustainability to introduce a single-use non-recyclable plastic reduction strategy, including plastic straws, that will include addressing considerations of the ADA. Is that good enough?
Yeah.
Okay.
Great.
Second.
Thank you so much.
Carla, could you please call the roll on the amendment?
Yes. Hugh Daly.
Thank you for the fast footwork. Sure. I vote aye.
Fritz.
Good addition, aye.
Wheeler.
Aye. The amendment's adopted. The main motion. Any further question or discussion?
I do actually have a couple. It seems to me that when we did the plastic bags, that we did allow people to use up their old ones as they phased in. Am I remembering that correctly? Somebody at the back is nodding. So given that we're coming back with this when...
Probably in September, and so we could maybe have it till whatever. We'll talk to the restaurant industry, and we'll talk to others and see what a reasonable time is.
Either that, or they could sell them to Vancouver, Washington, just ship them over the river. And secondly, again, thinking of the plastic bag changeover, what are you planning in terms of outreach, particularly to underrepresented communities who may not be on the Surf Rider email list, who may need just some education about what this is, why, how we're going to help?
Well, in terms of the businesses that are might either owned by underrepresented communities and such, we'll make sure that we use the same equity lens that we do on all of our programs and target those organizations and those individuals. And we'll also look at translating some of the information.
So there will be specific outreach to the restaurateurs who serve particular kinds of food. Yep. Great. Thank you very much.
Very good. Carla, please call the roll.
Hugh Daly.
Well, thanks again for your efforts. I vote aye.
Fritz.
Thanks to everybody. Aye.
Wheeler.
So first of all, I'd like to thank everybody who testified today, starting with Susan Anderson and the Bureau of Planning and Sustainability for your great efforts on this, Nancy and Brianna from the Surf Rider Foundation
You guys do outstanding work, and I'm very appreciative of that work, and I'm glad that we have a partnership here and that we can learn from your experiences and advocate together. And yes, I would love one of your t-shirts. Hillary, Barber, Burgerville, awesome. Love the strawberry shortcake this time of year. Thank you for your leadership. Burgerville is frequently a leader in this community on a whole host of issues, and it was no surprise to me whatsoever when I heard that Burgerville was interested in being a key component of this resolution. Julia, I can't say enough good things about Widmer Brothers or the folks in the leadership at that organization. And again, I was not surprised when I heard that you were the first company to sign up to be part of the Ditch the Straws campaign. And we continue to be appreciative of your company's leadership, the significant contribution to the economy, and just the culture of this community is greatly appreciated. Kate, thank you for the great work that St. Jack's does. And keep on doing the great work you are doing. We have a lot of work ahead. Packaging generally is way behind where we need to be in terms of achieving our planetary recycling goals and our stewardship of our waterways and our oceans. And this is but a start, but I think it's a meaningful and important start. And I'm grateful to everybody being here today. I look forward to what you bring back to the council, and I hope it is comprehensive, and I hope it's on the edgy side. We need to move aggressively, but obviously we want to work with our private sector partners and our nonprofit partners, and as my colleagues indicated, we need to work hard to engage and bring the community along with us. I'd like to see this be something where when we ultimately adopt ordinances related to this resolution, the public is broadly supportive of what we are doing. Thank you. I vote aye. The resolution is adopted as amended, and we're adjourned.